This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Sir Isaac Newton said that an object in motion tends to stay in motion, while an object at rest tends to remain at rest. The same is true with our spiritual lives. In today's message, Pastor Scott explores the consequences involved when we choose to stay at rest and why we should get up and move. This message was delivered on September 10th, 2017. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Amen.
Amen. Would you thank Pastor Aaron? He can sing and do announcements. He is so talented. We are so blessed to have him here. Oh, and we got the best ushers too. Thank you so much. Man, you know, I was looking at the radar map this morning, and I was thinking of those in Florida, and I was praying, and I was like, wow, man, what destruction and devastation, and I was thinking, I just couldn't imagine how much water and the wind, and I was like, wow, and I was just reminded that I am so grateful and thankful to be here. I mean, we had a hurricane hit us a few years ago, and on that Saturday after the hurricane and before church, I got a call from our district supervisor, and he asked me this question: "Hey, are you guys still having church tomorrow?" I thought, "Yeah, you blank right, we are, because we wasn't gonna stop from a little wind and rain." But man, just keep the people of Houston and Florida in your prayers. And if you still want to give, you know, you can just let us know, because everything you give goes right through us and goes straight through to Foursquare, and they have what they call Foursquare Disaster Relief. They're chaplains, they're trained people who go out and they get deployed. And if you're interested in getting deployed and going, you can go to the Foursquare website, icfg.com, and there's a place where you can actually sign up if you are willing to get deployed. Of course, you're going to have to pay your own way to get there, but they are taking volunteers to go out and help clean up the mess that happened. So if you're willing and able and you want to go, by all means, do so. Well, you know, all those people in the path of the storm, some of them, I mean, you seen the traffic, they chose to evacuate, and some chose not to. And man, can you imagine if you didn't move and you chose not to move, and they might be suffering some consequences now, thinking like, oh, I gotta stay here and protect my house and protect my car that might be underwater now. And when life is so much more valuable. I mean, if you ever thought of the consequences of staying right where you are, not ever taking a step of faith, I mean, what would happen? Think of it. What would happen if you never ever took a step of faith? Whether it be faith in going to church, faith in accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord, or even just as simple as like taking a step of faith to sign a paper to buy a car. That takes faith, right? You think about it. And if you never took that step of faith to buy that car, you'd be catching the bus, right? Or even yet, if you remember when John Creed said what the word mortgage means. You guys remember what that word mortgage means? If you got anything from the service, you got that, right? Strangled to death. I got that from the service. Yeah. But it took a lot of faith. How many of you ever had to sign mortgage papers? And how many of you had that ridiculously long Hawaiian middle name with 23 letters? And you had to write down, you know, about your whole middle name. Because you know when you sign a mortgage, you got to sign your full name. Thank God my middle name is Masa. Oh, so easy to sign. Yeah, I mean, really, think about it, man. I mean, if you had a long, long Hawaiian name, and you had to sign like 50 mortgage papers, you'd be cursing your parents. Why did you give me this long name? But it takes, how many of you agree that it takes faith to actually put your name down and take out a loan for like $200,000 to go buy a house? It took faith to go get your driver's license, to sit in a car with somebody taking notes while you're driving, not knowing what they're writing. What if you never had enough courage or faith to apply for a loan, to apply for a job? What about those out there who never had enough faith to say yes to Jesus Christ? What do you think the consequences of them would be by not moving, by staying right where they are, by being comfortable, by being complacent, saying, I'm okay on the outside, you know? Some of you say, I love your church, but this is not my church. This is God's church. When Jesus ascended to heaven, He gave us the church. He called this church the body of Christ. Why? Because we were to finish out the assignment. We are the ones to go out and reach the lost, heal the sick, equip the saved. And how healthy is God's church? It is as healthy as each of you here. I mean, let's say that 80-20 rule applies here, that 20% of the people do the work and 80% sit down and receive. Then if that was the case, which I believe it's not the case here, but I believe that then this church would not be so healthy. And if that were the case, if there were only 20% of the people doing the work and 80% of the people, then I would say that it would be my fault. Amen? Because I wouldn't be equipping you. I wouldn't be motivating you to do what God has called you to do. So I'd like you to ask this question. What would be the consequence of you not moving, not stepping up in faith and serving in God's church? You know, our men's ministry, we've been going through this series by Andy Stanley. And he's been saying, like, I really enjoy what he said. Someone's irresponsibility becomes another person's responsibility. As a parent, you probably know this. When your children don't clean up after themselves, their irresponsibility becomes your responsibility. When I throw my clothes on the ground and I make a mess, it ends up being my wife's responsibility, which is really sad. And as an adult, I do that sometimes. Not all the time, sometimes. My irresponsibility becomes someone else's responsibility. And when people don't step up and serve, other people serve more and more. They put in extra time. We have a growing fellowship here. And I speak this message today because we do, believe it or not, everything seems really great, but we do need help. Pastor Aaron, I think he gets here way before 5 in the morning. When I roll in at 5:15, he's done. He's done, and my part comes in, and I hook up stuff, and then James rolls in with Janiyah, his daughter, and she wipes the chairs, sets up the offering slips, and James makes the coffee. But man, if you would step up and come and give us a hand, it would be great. At some Sundays, we have an upwards of like 60 children and youth in there. Imagine 60 children in there, and maybe four, if that, Sunday school teachers. Yikes, I'd be running from that too, wouldn't you? But if somebody was to step up and step out in faith and help, then maybe the ratio wouldn't be so bad, right? I mean, we have the classrooms, we have the gym, we have the space, but we need the volunteers. There are many places that you can serve here. I mean, wouldn't it be great? Who was doing the umbrellas this morning? Was it Shaq? Shaq and Keith? Would you thank them? Because, man, they help keep you dry, right? Because now if you were to come in here all soaking wet with this humidity, man, it would be water and sweat mixed together. That would, I think there maybe would be open seats on the left and the right of you. I mean, we could use parking lot people. We could use PowerPoint people. I mean, we could use you. There's a lot of places to serve. Now, here's the thing. Number one, if we don't move, who will? If we don't move, if we don't step up into action, who will? Imagine if you brought your child here and there was no Sunday school and they have to sit next to you all service long. Mommy, mommy, when is he going to stop talking? He's boring. Let's go, I'm hungry. Mommy, mommy, I got to use the bathroom. Would you be able to listen to any of what I'd be saying, or you'd be focused on them? That's why we have someone who can teach these children. You ever tried teaching? Teaching is not easy because you got to explain things in such a way that they can receive it. And I tried that. And when I tried that, my respect for teachers came much greater because you have to really practice and study. And I believe the more you do it, the better you get. Mark 1:20 says this, "And he called them at once," Jesus being Jesus, "and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with their hired men." Jesus called these guys, and they just went beg. They left their dad with the nets in the boat, and they just went dig. Must have been thinking, man, I am out of here. I don't have to do this work anymore. I'm going to follow Jesus. They maybe thought it was easier. I'm going to go follow this guy because it might be easier. But I don't think it was. But it gave them an excuse to run away from their dad. I think my children would like that. You know, here's the thing. You are one step of obedience away from the next truth that God wants you to learn about him. You're just one step. Just one, yes, Lord. Just one step from God revealing so much to you. And I think that is why you cannot afford to stay put right where you are. You cannot. You and I, we all have this tendency to cling to the familiar, comfortable. When we find our comfort zone, oh, we like to dig in. That's the trouble with it, yeah. You know, how many of you have your favorite chair in that house? Your favorite chair that's so comfortable that when you get in there and you dig in, you ain't even getting up to answer the phone. You dig in, honey. Can you get me a drink? I'm so comfortable. I don't want to move. Right? Your favorite comfortable spot. And when we do that, we have a tendency to stay there. And when we are no longer being stretched, we begin to shrink. We become complacent. Oh, that's a bad word. We think we can handle things on our own. We stop growing. And when we stop growing, that is a dangerous place to be. I think we need to grow and learn every day. Amen? So maybe today you might be restless and feel like, man, there's something that I gotta do. I mean, I've been settling for this. And it may be time that you consider, you know, hey, I gotta face my fears. Because we have fears. How many of you have fears? I have fears of teaching children. Man, it's scary. It really is. I have fears of teaching adults. I have fears of public speaking. Can you believe that? It's time we face our fears and think, maybe I need to step up and experience some new things, new relationships, new opportunities. When Jesus called James and John, they were right there at home in their boat. They knew what to do. They knew the net. They knew the fishing. They knew the time, the tides. They were on familiar turf doing what naturally came to them, repairing their fishing nets. Sometimes when I go fishing, you know when you park your truck right here, and you turn around and you can fish right here. So comfortable. So easy. No more fish. Really, I'm serious. The last couple of times, for me, don't tell my wife, but the last couple of times, the places where I went to catch fish, I had to literally climb down like one 30-foot cliff and then walk along the cliff another 100 yards just to find one spot where I can catch fish. And Jaywin had to send one of the young boys down to come carry up my bucket because it was full of fish. It was too heavy. I had to get out of that nice, comfortable spot where you can sit down, cast your line, and nothing on bite, but I had to get out of that comfortable spot, and the stretching provided fish. I mean, so James and John, they were comfortable. They were right, you know, they were in their zone. But the thing is, they couldn't stay there and follow Jesus. The Bible says immediately they called him, and immediately called him, they followed him, they left, they went after him. They had to leave the familiar in order to fulfill their destiny. Matthew 14, 28. Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." So you know what the scenario is. They're in the boat. They're in a storm. They see Jesus. And Peter said, "Lord, if that's really you, call me. I'm stepping out of this boat and I'm coming to you." And he said, "Come." I mean, even if you're in a storm in a boat, I would assume that it's more comfortable in the boat than in the water, right? But he went. Peter got out of the boat. He walked on water, and even if it's only for a little while, he walked on water. I mean, I would have loved to think, you know, to try that, to walk on water only for a little while. Here's a question. What's your boat, and do you need to get out of it? Are you nice and comfortable? Do you need to get out of it? In Zephaniah, there was a thing he was writing to the people. He said, "At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left on its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad." You know, God was going to search the city with lanterns and punish those who deserve punishment because they did not search their hearts and because they were content with the moral chaos around them. You know, the prophet Zephaniah here wasn't talking about serving in a church, but he was trying to tell people that being complacent is a sinful thing in life and it was going to destroy them. You know, being complacent in life is not a good place to be. complacency can be bad as sin. I mean, if you're complacent and living in a sinful lifestyle, then, you know, that's not a good place to be. If you're complacent just sitting in church and not helping to expand the kingdom, then that's not a good place to be. When it comes to serving God, here's the thing. Number two, age isn't the issue. Availability is. I don't care if you're 15 or you're 5 or you're 60. You still can do something. If you think you're too old to try something new, remember that Abraham was 75 years old when he discovered his life plan, his assignment. Timothy was probably like 17. In Genesis 12:4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left for Haran. Imagine figuring out what you got to do at 75 years old. At least he figured it out, though. He figured it out, and he went. God told him to go, and he went. Didn't question God, he went. Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. We need the young as well as the seasoned. Not going to say old. The young as just as well as the seasoned. All right, and I'm not looking at only the seasoned people. I'm looking at the young ones too. Because the young ones can learn from the seasoned ones. Amen? As I learn from my elders. Isaiah 6:8. I love this scripture. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Would you be brave enough to say that to the Lord? Would you be brave enough to say to the Lord, whatever it takes? I did that once. Not knowing what I was getting into, I held up a sign and said, whatever it takes. Didn't know it was going to take this much, but I'm glad I did. Who will go? God knew, but he was giving Isaiah an opportunity for service. The prophet knew that the nation needed him, and he went. Number three, there is nothing to fear. Seriously, when it comes to serving God, why would you be afraid? I would be more afraid not to move when he told me to move. Amen? I mean, if he tells you to move and you ignore that voice, how many of you have done that before? Yeah, just a few of you. The rest of you, you had to stay the extra hour for church. We talk about lying and deceit. Seriously, I mean, back I think in like 2005 or 6, I heard a voice saying, go. I said, no way. I ain't going. I ain't ready, you know, to go start a church. No way I was ready. I said, no, I just ignored that voice. I ignored it. And then when it came time to go, and I was like, wow. Then I realized that years ago, that was the voice that I should have gone. But I didn't go. And I missed out on some opportunities. And I learned a valuable lesson. And of course, you know, stepping out and starting a church, you have a lot to be afraid of. And I had a lot to be afraid of. I'm sure my wife had a lot to be afraid of. But it was always her fault. Because she was the one to pray for. She prayed for me. She prayed, save my husband. She didn't say, save my husband, Lord, make him an usher. She didn't say, save my husband, make him a pastor, because she just said, save my husband, and the Lord saved me. But there's nothing to fear in serving God. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. A spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. I think of that. You know, when I think of that spirit of fear, and I think of the things that I'm afraid of, like spiders. I don't know if God was talking about that. Probably not. But I did hit a spider with my hand to kill it, because if not, it'll run loose and it'll make more fear in us. I mean, fear. Think about it. What would cause you to not serve God? Fear, right? Fear of not knowing what to expect. But don't worry about it. What would stop you from coming up here and doing announcements? Fear. Oh, yeah. Fear. But when we bow to fear, who wins? Does God win? No, I don't think so. I think the devil wins. Timothy was experiencing opposition to his message and himself as a leader because he was a young guy. And he was associated with Paul, who was in and out of jail. And his leadership was coming under fire from believers and non-believers alike. Paul told him, do not be afraid, because the fear comes from the enemy. You know, when we receive your tithes and offerings, it takes faith to give. Because when you give, you might be thinking, how am I going to pay my bills? And if that fear stops you from giving, then the enemy wins. Because when you give, I tell you what, the blessings outweigh so much of more than what you give. You know, it takes guts to leave ruts. Especially when that rut that you're in has rewarded you with being comfortable. But if you want to experience God in a much deeper dimension, one that will stretch you, then you must be ready to leave your comfort zone and follow Him. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to leave your rut? Are you ready to be stretched for the Lord? And number 4, plan to expand your comfort zone. You know, if we stayed in our comfort zone, life would be like this, like a little small comfort zone that we're in, like a little spot, like the size of your chair. But then one day we decided, oh, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to buy a car. Circle came bigger. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to buy a house. My circle came bigger. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and I'm going to start dating. My circle came bigger. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. My circle came bigger. I am going to come to New Hope East Hawaii. And look at your circle right here. Look how big it is. You get to step out and serve one another. Expand your comfort zone. And we expand it to the point where you can have little children coming to the Lord because of you. You can have little children saying, I'm going to bring my friend next week because Sunday school is so good. It's so enjoyable. And I'm learning a lot. Whether it's coming to church on Sunday or going to Bible study, handing out bulletins, making coffee, setting up in the morning, make a plan to expand your comfort zone. Matthew 25:21, the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. If you are faithful with little things, God can give you more things. But if you are not faithful with the little that you have, the Bible says that God will take it away. Now I want you to have many things. I want you to be faithful with the little so God can give you more. These two servants that Matthew was talking about were faithful in caring for the master's money. And they were accordingly rewarded for their faithfulness with additional wealth, responsibilities. You know that the more that you are faithful with, you will get more things to do. It doesn't stop. You look at the people who are faithful with what they got. What happens? The boss gives them more to do, right? Sometimes that doesn't seem fair, but you know what? Reality check, life is not fair. Life was not fair to Jesus. Life is not fair to us. Sometimes when you're the best worker around, it kind of sucks that you get the most work to do. But it works out that way because you're faithful. Who else would they give it to get it done other than the one who is faithful? So if the boss is giving you more and more to do, just say, wow, man, I am entrusted with all of this because I am faithful. I am dependable. When it comes to counting on somebody, they can count on me. Isn't that a good feeling? That the boss can count on you because they're giving. And it's not like, wow, you can't look at it like, wow, they're giving me more stuff to do. Just think like, man, I am the best. That's why. Don't get cocky and arrogant, okay? Because pride comes before the fall. But that's another sermon. So just be grateful and be thankful that because you're so good with this, they're giving you more. Ephesians 5. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What you enjoy today is a direct result of what you invested in yesterday. So if you want your future to be different, start changing what you're doing today. Think about that. What you enjoy today is a direct result of what you invested in yesterday. What did you invest in yesterday? Junk score. Or were you out planting seeds, sowing seeds, so that you can enjoy something today? If you want your future to be different, start changing what you are doing today. Each of us, including me, we all have a comfort zone. We make most of our decisions based on our being comfortable. Outside of it, we begin to feel uneasy. To accomplish anything worthwhile generally means expanding your comfort zone. And this can be scary. Like I said, it takes guts to leave ruts. In a rut, we can learn to tolerate even the unbearable situations, which makes changing very difficult. Let's get out of the ruts and let's expand our comfort zone. And then when we get comfortable there, then let's expand it again. And when we get comfortable there, let's expand it again and keep going. Remember Esther? She had a tough choice to make to move. Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you are in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. So Esther was queen. There was a decree sent out to kill all the Jews. Esther was a Jew. Mordecai said, just because you're in the palace, you're a queen, don't think that you're going to escape annihilation. So he tells them, if you keep quiet at this time, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arrive from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? I want to ask you this. Who knows why God brought you here? Maybe he brought you here to New Hope East Hawaii, to this Sunday service, for such a time as this. For such a time as this. To step out of your comfort zone, to step out and experience God in a much deeper way. Because Jesus said, it is much better to serve than to be served. Amen? You may put away your notes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Sorry, I ran over a little bit. Please forgive me. Do not take out your rocks. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. So take it home. I'm going to ask that you bow your heads and pray with me. Man, if you need to step out of your comfort zone and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, this is the time and this is the place. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me. It might be uncomfortable to pray this prayer, but it's a prayer that will get you into the kingdom. It's a prayer of salvation. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? Anybody? Anybody? Thank you, Lord. And I pray that your word would have fallen on fertile soil, that for those of us who are comfortable, that we would take this time to step up and serve you, because it is such a fulfilling thing to do, to serve you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to serve you in the local church, to serve you in a way that people would see you in me. So we thank you so much for this opportunity that we get to serve you. We love you and we praise you. We continue to pray for those in Florida and in Texas that you would bless them and keep them. We thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you thank the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. All right, you ready to sing? Yes, would you stand? Put your hands together.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.